In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, we shall begin our evening devotion by reading from the fifth chapter of the Gospel of Luke, from the beginning of the chapter. The words are in Jesus' name. And it came to pass, as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesareth, and he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And when they had this done, and they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, and they should come and help them. And when they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so also was James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Amen. Dear listeners, this portion of God's Word, it takes us to the very beginning of Jesus' public ministry. This same story is found in the book of Mark, when it describes how Jesus began to preach to people. And I think that it is also found in the fourth chapter of Matthew and in this fifth chapter of Luke. Luke says that before this happened, he says that there was a group of people pressed upon him to hear the word of God. And before this, it tells us that the situation had come to a point where Jesus wanted to find a place where he could be alone. And he had spoken the word of God, and he had visited his hometown where he read from the scriptures the prophecy where it says that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Upon him who is sent to preach unto the poor and freedom to the captives and so on. And the people were astonished when they listened to Jesus. And they said that they were astonished, surprised, because he was speaking like somebody with authority or power. And this wasn't all. Not only had Jesus spoken with authority, but according to Lucas, he had already performed some miracles. He had, among other things, healed the mother-in-law of Simon. And as the result of this, when the sun goes down, there were many people who had sick people in their houses. Imagine the time that they were living in. They didn't have nearly as many cures or procedures for illnesses or pharmacies for medication. And a lot of people were sick. It seems like it says here that when the sun set, people brought Jesus, brought the sick to Jesus, and he pressed his hands upon them and healed them. This was the nature of the beginning of Jesus's public ministry, according to Luke. And until this point, Jesus had worked alone. He had encountered temptations in the wilderness. He had began his work of preaching and healing all alone. But this story that I just, or this narrative that I just read, tells us when Jesus first called his escorts or work partners, his apostles or disciples. And what I was thinking when it says here, when it says that as the people pressed upon him, he notices two ships on the lake and the fishermen were gone out of them. And it seems like Jesus must have known Simon beforehand. At least that's the question that rose in my mind, and it doesn't really make a difference. But if you look at the Gospels of Matthew and Mark, it says only after this event, when Jesus called Simon and Peter, or Simon Peter as his, to call him, it was only after that that he healed the mother-in-law of Simon. But according to Luke, Jesus had just healed the mother-in-law of Luke, and she had a high fever. Luke doesn't tell us if Simon was there before this event, which we just read about. Nevertheless, when Jesus comes, you get the feeling that I wonder if Simon and his fishing partners knew Jesus very well, because they were just working on their own, even though Jesus was teaching on the nearby area and people were crowding around him. Maybe they just needed to take care of their temporary work, and they would have wanted to go listen to Jesus, but it just wasn't possible. But you could imagine that since the reputation of Jesus had spread in that area, we would guess that Simon knew Jesus at least by reputation, and he agreed to let Jesus enter his ship, and he launches it from the shore. And then Jesus begins to preach from the boat, probably so that he could be at peace and so that he could have his sound carry out more powerfully. But then when we go forward toward this portion, Jesus stops speaking and he tells Simon Peter to launch the boat out into the deep water. And Simon's answer was, "We have been working all night and we have not caught anything." But then he says, "At thy word, I will let down the net." What we hear there, at least in my mind, is that even if Simon didn't know Jesus very well, he was in that same boat with Jesus, listening to Jesus talk and the words of Jesus. And so I think the effect of this was that I will let down the net because you have asked me. And then there's a miracle. When they lower the net into the water, they are able to enclose a great multitude of fishes, and two boats were filled. And I think about this miracle when they say Jesus performed a lot of miracles, even until he started to raise people from the dead. When people think about with their own ration what is possible, is it only possible? Is it just possible that Jesus was just so skillful at fishing that he knew where fish would be available? But Peter's reaction after that catch of fish, if Peter would have been asked, if anybody asked Peter or the other fishermen, they would have said this was a great miracle. They were the professional fishermen. They were probably frustrated and tired, and they were rinsing out their empty nets. What does this catch of fish teach Peter and the other fishermen and even us tonight? What I'm thinking is that there are many lessons. One could be that at that moment, Peter understands whenever they catch fish, it is a gift of God. All temporal things we need for our lives, our daily bread, it is a gift from God. Nothing that we have created. And then Jesus performed miracles, which he performed so that people would know that he was the Son of God. And what we remember about Peter is that when later Jesus asked his disciples, whom do people call me? And people gave different ideas about who Jesus was or could be. But when Jesus asked the disciples themselves, wasn't it Peter who said, "Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God"? And in my mind, this catch of fish, when Jesus says at the end that I will make you these normal fishermen turn into fishers of men. In my mind, what this tells me is that even then, in the kingdom, the work of the kingdom of God, God is the one who seeks man, even though it is men who do the work, and God has given this mission command to his followers. Nevertheless, it is God who does the work in it. These fishers of men, they were allowed to see some pretty amazing things. Thousands of people received the grace of repentance at one time. As we remember Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost was given in a special manner and the people were able to speak in tongues and everyone was able to understand what they spoke. But even with this catch of fish, Jesus taught that this is his work. And when the disciples rejoiced that there were many people who repented and that they were capable of also performing miracles, Jesus reminded them that be more happy, rejoice more over the fact that your names are written in the book of life. That is why the work of the kingdom of God is performed with humility, humbleness, with a mind and understanding that we are bearers of the word, we are sowers of the word, and it is the Heavenly Father who takes care, who ensures or guides where that word is sown and who needs it. But I'm still thinking about Peter in this text, his reaction to this catch of fish. It must have been pretty much work to lift up the fish onto the ships, on the boats. And after the hectic moment was over, when they had the fish, and Peter looks at the fish, just like it says here, Peter, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." He feels like he is not worthy of being in the company of Jesus, to follow him. And what I think is that even today, we might, with our mind, think, does it pay to believe? Does it make sense? What does it give me if I believe and follow Jesus? But after Peter had listened to Jesus on the boat, and after he saw the catch of fish, he doesn't have any of these questions anymore. The situation is almost like reversed. And Peter's thinking and wondering, am I good enough? And can I be in the company of Jesus as I am? And then Jesus answers and says, fear not. And he calls them to be fishers of men. And I think that Peter's experiences, and I want you to draw your thoughts, brothers and sisters, young people alike tonight. Perhaps we have not been able to witness these miracles. Amazing things do happen even today, but these kinds of miracles of Jesus' times are not the kinds of miracles that we have seen. So how does this affect our faith? And how much do we wrestle with questions of faith with our own mind? But Jesus says, blessed are they who believe, even though they have not seen. Peter listened to Jesus speak. Jesus is no longer with us in a physical sense that we could see with our eyes and hear in the way that he spoke to his disciples. I would like to ask you, have you heard at these services, when the sermons are preached and before in your life, have you heard the voice of Jesus, the voice of a good shepherd, where the Holy Spirit, through sinful, lacking people, God encourages us through this to believe? I would like to tell you, somehow, when Peter found the kingdom of God, and when many others found the kingdom of God, and when even today some people are able to find the kingdom of God. They are able to experience the joy of the finder. And it's even been told here at the services. I remember the African woman who took her headscarf off when she was so happy to have her sins forgiven. But how is it with you or me who have been children of God since our birth? We have not experienced something like this. Do we know how to appreciate the fact that we have been given the gift of faith? And it seems to me that it would probably be good for us to experience with Peter, that we would not consider it or take it for granted, but rather that we would find ourselves sinful, impossible as sinners. Nevertheless, when we do ask that, can I, such a doubting and weak and falling into sin, can I believe? And I do wish to even now encourage you that of course you can believe. You can be in the company of Jesus just like Peter when he felt like he was not worth it. On all the treasures of heaven, not possible in this world. Peace in your soul and heart. The hope that a believer has. You can have them as treasures in your heart. And if you have suffered and doubted about your own travel of faith, you can even believe this, forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood, and you can be of good cheer believing the word. In Jesus' name, believe, all sins forgiven. And yet I would wish to yet tell you one more viewpoint of this text. Jesus knew the place to put the net. And by this he showed that the catching of men is not based on the hard work or skill of mankind, even though God uses mankind in this work. Even now at this moment, God is calling, and is making sure that even today, the seeking person will find the kingdom of God and will have his sins forgiven. What I'm thinking is that when it speaks about this miracle here, how this great catch of fish came, I'm thinking that there is another miracle in this text. I don't know why it is. Somehow, it just seems like a bigger miracle. And it is told in the last verse when it says, when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed Jesus. How on earth could it be like this? They left everything behind and followed Jesus. I want to talk to you who have never sat in the boat like Peter did, listening to the good shepherd's voice, the voice of Jesus, who the voice which comes through mankind. Perhaps you have listened to these services. Perhaps you're listening to services on the radio. And if you feel like this message is having an effect on you, like it did on Peter, and you are thinking, how could a sinful person like me receive the gift of faith and get his or her sins forgiven and get the peace of God in his or her heart? It is possible. You too can believe wherever you listen to this word, here at services or at home. You can believe all of your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. And it is sure, it is certain that the word gives what it promises. And if you wonder, do I need to leave all behind? I don't believe that you have to leave everything. And in many sense, in many senses, life continues, and not all your problems will be solved after you receive the grace of repentance. But what you can leave behind is all those things that connect you to this world. Those things which are not in accordance with God's will. Those things that make it difficult to stay on the road of faith. Those things are good and light to leave behind. Somehow this example of the fisherman can encourage you tonight that you will not lose even if you have to give up some things in life. In fact, it's already been mentioned here that Jesus promised when his disciples were asking him in a different connection, what do we get after we have given up so much, after we started following you? Jesus said, you will get 100-fold back in terms of brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers. We know that the greatest thing that Jesus promised was eternal life to all who believe on him. Even though it is incomprehensible to our reason, it is nevertheless wonderful to believe that after these struggles and battles of life, there will be eternal rest in heaven. It pays to believe. In Jesus' name and blood, you can believe even your latest doubts forgiven. And I can say that I came up here to speak under pressure. So I believe, can I have my sins forgiven? I wish to believe with you. Let us pray. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.